always a voice. Yes, do that. It's fantastic. Wonderful.
I think it'll be good for TSL.
Hello. And so forth. It's 48 seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of November, the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming along, making it part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970, Solid State Radio. This, my friends, this is the Rick Emerson radio program. And welcome to my world. It's 503-73. I'm so happy. You know why I'm happy? I was going to play this before the top of the program, before the beginning. I guess really it can't be before the beginning, logically speaking. Well, in any event, because I have this great thing I'm going to play. It's 503, though, if you'd like to call us today, 503-733-2970. You can also email me like it's rick@rickemerson.com. Rick@RickEmerson.com with your comments, clarifications, kvetches, hate mail, your 2 cents, your what have you. This is a great thing actually about having, even though we do our events on a Thursday, I really can see the advantage of doing the as do this thing on a Friday. Because then by Monday you feel fine again. You're not coming in the next day being all, trying to do a program, everybody's all drunk and hating their lives. Not that anybody here would know anything about that. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com.
I just brought a bottle of Vizo with me. I think it was Will.
Yeah, the best part, actually, we were walking upstairs. We walked right into Alex from Vizo, and there I wasn't even planned. That's always a great thing, to just walk right into the... walk right into the sponsor, and I got the bottle of Vizo in my hand. Anywho, it's 503-733-2970. You can also email it to rick@rickemerson.com. We will welcome Mailman Chris to the program here in just a moment. Before we do anything else, okay, I gotta play this. Can you drop the bed just a little bit?
Why, Helen? Why do you do these things?
Yeah, listen to that. That's what I'm talking about.
We can go home now.
I had like 9 people send me that this weekend. It's fantastic. Our friend Tom Spangler, the guy who brought me Blood Rock and DOA, which I have not played yet. He brought that to us on Mini. That's the guy who had a whole bunch of reel-to-reels in his basement. He brought that in, and then somebody named Hoku sent that to me as well. So it's fantastic.
Why, Helen? Why do you do these things?
Genius. Thank you. See? Now, I know that it didn't matter to anybody else. Nobody else cared at all. It did matter to me, though.
Why, Helen? Why do you do these things?
There you go. Burgess Meredith, ladies and gentlemen. 503-733-2970. Before we progress any further in today's program, it's probably a good idea. We should just do it because everybody's feeling fine today. Everybody's feeling dandy?
Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
I mean, Sarah, you've had... Sarah, again, for like the fourth day in a row, has had a bit of a morning. So we'll talk about that in a second. But other than that...
No, everything else is going good. It's just the torrential rain and...
And the bridge and the...
And the biking.
It's called the Pineapple Express.
They dined at the Pineapple Express.
The Pineapple Express. Look right here. You think I make these things up?
I really do, actually. Okay, well, we'll talk about that in a second. Before we do anything further, let's...
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to that squad!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
Well, here's that social butterfly.
Hey, Scotty J. Hello, sir.
The non-smoking social butterfly.
Good morning. How are you? How you doing, Sarah?
Hi, Scotty J.
Well, we're just going around the room making sure that everybody is fine and up to snuff today because this is a very intense event on Friday. And Lycus was there, and a lot of shouting and, you know, breathing and a lot of cigarette smoke.
A lot of drinking.
A lot of drinking and so forth. So, Sarah, you're feeling fine?
I'm feeling grand.
You had a great night on Friday.
Oh, yeah. It was a lot of fun. Went to a restaurant opening when everyone else was in, like, fancy dresses. I was wearing my AM970 shirt.
Excellent.
Sporting it.
Tim Riley had a good time as well on Friday. Was there, pressed the flesh, met the people.
Outstanding. Life couldn't be better.
Yeah, fantastic. I had a great night. Did the Lycus thing. It went up, slept all
weekend. You're not wearing a hat.
Not wearing a hat today. Scotty J, how was your night?
Oh, it was great.
Okay.
Had a good time. That's it.
Of course it is.
What made it so good?
Karaoke was fun.
But they didn't have karaoke at the Lycus party.
No, I went from the Lycus party across the street to the boiler room.
Did you meet Mrs. J over there?
No.
Oh.
She didn't go.
All right.
Was she at home with the chillin'?
Yes, she was.
She was at home doing her wifely duties. That's all. But you had a pleasant evening?
Yes, it was great.
All right, fantastic. Everything went splendidly and smoothly?
Perfect.
Excellent.
All right.
Thank you, Scotty.
Thank you.
There you go. Sounds like Scotty had a relatively boring time after he left Lycus.
I love my wife.
All right, there you go.
I bet you had a nice new coat of glow coat on the kitchen floor, as any suburban woman would.
Fantastic. Should home cooking up some tang and fish sticks. All right. Anywho, it's 503-733-2970. There you go. There's the official word from everybody here in the room.
I'd kind of like to know what song Scotty J sang for karaoke.
At karaoke?
Yeah.
Well, I would have no way to ascertain any that.
How about that Lee Greenwood song, Proud to Be an American?
followed by Afternoon Delight. Let's welcome, now to the Rick Emerson Show, our good friend.
A postman is the person in your neighborhood.
Mailman Chris, hello, sir. How are you?
I am great. Good morning to you.
Are you great? Are you bright and bushy tail on this Monday?
I am.
And again, I got to say that we do all of our stuff on a Thursday so we can recap it the next day, but there is a little something to be said for having the event on a Friday so that when you go to recap it on Monday, you're not speaking from a place of hungover pain and misery. So there you go. So I have to ask you this.
Yeah.
I got this. Did you email me this thing about the sausage?
I did no such thing. I may have the faintest idea what you're talking about.
Oh, I'm sorry. So you did.
I just found it interesting. I, like you, decided to take a few notes and.
So you may know about this sausage email, but you yourself did not send me this.
Correct. And out of deference to the parties involved, I have destroyed most of those notes.
Oh.
But I did keep the one that reminded me that. The funniest thing I think overheard during the evening after Lycus, which there were several bars involved, was, Kristen, would you like some of my sausage?
That's fantastic. Should I just imagine who said that? All right.
Oh, that's right. Cruel.
I'm going to... No.
You give and you take away.
No.
By now the people will never know.
No, I'm going to bleep it. All right.
Okay, and also to answer the original question.
Yes.
The first song, and it's the only one I saw, is Boogeyman.
Scotty saying, I'm your boogeyman by KC and the Sunshine Band?
Absolutely.
Fantastic. He is. Now, I got to tell you, when Scotty called, this is completely true. When I was making up ringtones for Scotty, he requested that KC and the Sunshine Band be his ringtone on my phone. So when Scotty J calls my phone, it rings with Boogie Shoes by KC and the Sunshine Band. That's completely and totally true. He's saying, I'm your boogeyman. He's saying now by KC and the Sunshine Band, followed by Mysterious Ways by U2. Really? Scotty, come on. You should never sing U2. All right, well, there you go. By the way, I'd like to say this, that on the best phrase heard that night by me, I wrote this down, and I won't reveal who said this, but someone said the following phrase on Friday night. Quote, my meat account is, like, overflowing, end quote. Right here.
I don't think that was me.
No, it was not you. I did write it down. It's an actual quote. Quote, my meat account is, like, overflowing, end quote. Everybody can just imagine who said that and what prompted the saying of said statement.
There you go.
And so forth. So I'm glad to know that everybody's recovered from the drinking and smoking. Not that anybody on this program drinks or smokes.
No.
And tries to hide it. Sadly. Okay. All right. Well, let's see. What are we... I'm being good. What are we going to get to today? Here's the thing. We're going to help to crush the dreams of aspiring radio hosts. We will have a little bit of a Lycus wrap-up, just talk about some of the stuff that happened on Friday, because there was that insane phone call, for one.
That we didn't even know about, we were there.
Because I was just running around, just trying to, to meet people, and schmooze, and do all, make sure everything was kind of running smoothly. The night was not about us, it was about Tom, but I...
And meeting delightful sponsors.
Exactly, well, that's Rick Emerson is professional. I am all about being a team player. So we were, meeting the sponsors, talking to listeners, and doing the, just making sure that Tom had everything he needed, and then we were... At the top and the bottom of the hours, we would kind of go up on stage and just sort of give shouts out to the crowd and so forth. But in the midst of all that, there was this insane phone call that we missed. He did play it back in the 6 p.m. hour, and I would imagine he's just going to be beating it like a gong today, so we'll talk about that. Let's see, we have the best issue ever of the National Enquirer. Peter Carlin from the Oregonian will be joining us, and our final day to wallow in pre-election goodness with the lovely Lisa Goddard. She will be joining us later on as well. What else? Do I have anything else? That's pretty much it for now. And I'll find another excuse to play that My Chemical Romance song again. So there you go. That's what I have today, my friend.
Excellent. Hey, by the way,
you mentioned the Chemical Romance. I did get that CD.
It's great. It really is great. It's not perfect, but it's very, very strong. It's a great CD.
I haven't heard you mention this one yet. I don't know if you've picked it up now that it's been out about 5 days. But Meatloaf, Bat Out of Hell 3.
Bat Out of Hell 3, which I meant to buy this weekend, and then I just got the, I got distracted with Elaine around the house and sleeping on
again,
weekend.
Not a perfect CD. Great Steinman stuff in there. There's actually some stuff that really brings Meatloaf kind of modern music. And his version of It's All Coming Back to Me Now.
Which I heard on Friday. Sarah sent me the... Women will play that today. Sarah sent me the video for that. The video is fantastic. It gives me chills. It really does. The video, and there's a song on that, on the Bat Out of Hell 3 called Bad for Good, which is a Jim... Well, I mean, they're all Jim Steinman songs in one form or another. But from Steinman's album of the same name that came out in like 81, 82 or something, which is really good. So, yeah, Bat Out of Hell 3 getting pretty strong reviews. And so forth. So there we go. So that's pretty much it. I mean, there's other stuff, but
right.
we may not even get to it.
Crush the dreams of a aspiring radio host.
Yes.
Like us, recap the greatest Inquirer story ever. Peter Carlin and Lisa Goddard with the last day of pre-election goodness.
Yes, fantastic. So there you go. We'll get that. Oh, and Clyde Lewis will be joining us later on today as well.
And I will second it. Clyde has to say if you guys want to make your way to the Clyde Lewis show tonight, the Ground Zero Lounge tonight at Dante's. There's going to be some really great discussion about what happened last Tuesday.
I saw the pictures, actually. I saw the pictures from the seance. They were legitimately pretty cool. I mean, I'm not a big ghost believer or anything, but the pictures were really great from the Rose and
Rainbow.
Are
they at his website?
I don't know. I saw them. This guy, Aaron, not Aaron Geek in the City, but Aaron who works with Jason Crump at Vanish Twin Photography, they did a bunch of photographs. And we were looking at the photographs of Aaron and Jen's wedding, and then mixed in with those, which are a bunch of, course, it's only in this group of people. Mixed in with the wedding photographs are a bunch of photos of ghosts in a crematorium, and they were really cool. That's a cool looking place. See, I've never been there. I've only ever been in the restaurant upstairs once. I've never been down below and so forth. So anyway, well, Clyde will be on later on to pimp that relentlessly while high. So there you go, my friend. We will, where am I at push-up wise? At 42?
46.
All right, we'll check in at the end of the program then.
Will do.
Thank you, sir. There you go. Mailman Chris, ladies and gentlemen. There you go. Now, Rose and the Radio, you know what they're... we've already talked about the fact that they're closing that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know they're closing that? You know what they're putting there? A bank. How depressing is that?
There's already a bank
too
right
many
next
banks.
To it.
I know. That's what I mean. There's a bank. And you... Really, who needs banks now? All you need is an ATM. Really, when is the last time you actually needed a physical bank for anything? Like, unless you're getting a loan, what is it you really need a bank for? I mean, you know, they pay you, your check goes into the, your check goes into the deposit, you get crap out of an ATM. What is it you really need to walk into a bank for?
There are still a lot of businesses that hand out paper checks.
Yeah, but I mean, I suppose, and that is the one thing about it, and I get after Sarah for this, because...
And older people like to socialize and hold people up.
Can I just tell you this?
Sure.
Why is it... Why, Helen? Oh, no. See, now I can just have Burgess Meredith say it constantly. I don't need to say it myself.
Why, Helen? Why do you do these things?
Well, we'll get back to this. Sarah, Dylan, of course, how are you? You looking well?
I'm all right.
All right.
Yeah, sorry, I actually left the house early and arrived late today.
Yes, you did. We'll talk about that in a second, because it really is a fantastic story that, again, I've only heard like the slightest little bit of it, but I know that it impacted many people in the audience today, so it is both entertaining and relatable. And it didn't happen to me, so that's also good. Tim Riley's working on the following stories today.
Well, this is the last day to identify and prosecute hypocritical evangelists before Election Day.
Fantastic.
And you commit tomorrow will bring the lowest gasoline prices in quite some time. Saddam must be hung. What better way to get the GOP base off their lazy butts and into the voting booth? And a naked man is found with a concealed weapon up his rectum.
Why, Helen? Why do you do it?
Well, tell you later.
Okay.
That's a tease.
Oh, yeah, it really is. All right, and so therefore, well, I had all this crap I was going to talk about, but let me just make this observation about the bank before we talk to Sarah. Is that, first of all, I don't know why it is that when I go to the bank, have you noticed this, that there are certain places you will go publicly where you are always next to or behind certain other types of people? For example, when you go to the movie theater, there was always one person in the theater talking loudly on their cell phone to their baby daddy somewhere, and she's always sitting next to you. Always. Never like, never be rows and rows away. Always right next to you or right behind you. So it is when I go to the bank, And look, I know that they are among God's most beautiful children, but I'm always behind a long line of retarded people. I don't know why, and I don't mean retarded like that they, you know, that they're just mouth breathers. I mean, as in, you know, I'm always behind those people in line at the bank. I don't know why.
Which kinds of those again?
That, the thing about it is, and there is nobody who wants to have a long, drawn-out conversation with the teller more than someone who is retarded. They just, I mean, every engagement with the teller, every roll of quarters they turn in is an opportunity for just endless discussion about like a barn painting that they're going to be going to this weekend.
So how was your weekend?
Yeah, you know, and then it just goes on forever. For like 10, you know, and I'm just, and then it's like three different layers of uncomfortable. Yeah. Because you just want them to be done and to leave, and then you feel guilty, and then you feel awkward. You know, God, I was behind, I gotta say this, like,
And you're wondering if they're faking it?
I did. Just to get to the front of the line, like my grandmother used to do when she would go to see Johnny Carson. My grandmother would go to see The Tonight Show, and because she was a wrinkled, old, horrible crone of a woman, she would get into a wheelchair and pretend that she couldn't walk. That was her whole thing. She would go to Disneyland, and she would go to The Tonight Show, and she would be in a wheelchair. My grandmother was completely capable of walking, by the way, which is one of the many reasons why God killed her with a painful disease. She was completely and totally capable of walking. She's old, but so what? Everybody's old. But she would get in a wheelchair, and I swear to God, she would claim that, like, her hips had disintegrated. You know, can you walk? No! And so then they would just wheel her ass around Disneyland, and she would go to see The Tonight Show being taped in Burbank, and they would just right into the front door. Everybody else waiting outside in the sun for 3 hours. Not my grandmother. No. It claims that her pelvis has just turned into jelly, and so they're wheeling her right in, right down to the front row. Well, she's dead now, so it doesn't matter. Anyway, and blah, 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 bank. But here's the thing. So I get this call from Sarah this morning. You see, and this is one of those days where you were ahead of the game when you woke up. You got out of bed early. You were ready to go. You were just, I mean, that's always the days when God just decides to F with you. It's like, you know, you're running 20 minutes ahead of time. You've had your breakfast. Your clothes are great. You're ironed. You got everything good. You get in there. And so you are being a good person this morning because you were riding your bike.
I was.
So here's the call that I get from Sarah this morning. I'm on the Hawthorne Bridge, and it's anarchy. It's chaos. No one can get anywhere, and we're all going to die, or something like that.
Yeah, I got stuck standing on there for a half an hour before the... Okay, I'm going to control myself.
Yes?
I've had so many problems with the Hawthorne Bridge over the years. You know, the smug little person sitting in the box above you who will just lift the bridge for no apparent reason to test it in the middle of rush hour when you're trying to get somewhere.
And did you ever get this when they raise the bridge for a boat that clearly doesn't need it?
Yeah.
Because the Portland Spirit, correct me if I'm wrong, the Portland Spirit does not justify a raising of the bridge. Am I right about that?
I don't know.
I believe that I'm right about that. But they'll raise the... I mean, seriously, it's like a dinghy going down below, and the guy, I can raise the bridge. You know, it's like just trying to justify
his
job.
Well, there were no alerts, no nothing. Everyone is stuck on the bridge. By the time I get down there, the cars have all been waiting for like 5-10 minutes. I wait for another 25 before finally this woman comes on the air and goes, oh, the Hawthorne Bridge is broken. Everyone needs to turn around and get off the bridge.
That's what you like to hear. The bridge you are standing on right now above the rushing rapids is broken.
Yes, you can feel kind of moving from side to side. So there are all these cars trying to turn around, complete chaos. These people are all crawling over the barrier with their children and everything, walking across the bridge.
With grappling hooks.
Completely pole vaulting over the opening. It's like in the Blues Brothers.
Well, and I waited until like the last few because I'm like, I don't want to be a Darwin watch. I don't want to be a Darwin watch. I know if I cross this and I step on the bridge, it's going to lift up and push me.
I cannot tell you how many times in my life something will happen and I'm like, oh God, don't let me be a Darwin watch. Don't let me be a headline on FARC. You know what I mean? Because like I did the other day, I was in the bathroom. Mara had left a hairdryer plugged in. And it was some Rube Goldberg-esque chain of events. And I knocked over a thing, which bumped into another thing, which turned on a thing. And then all of it conspired to hit the on button on the hairdryer, which then I was trying to turn it off, and it was like plunging towards the toilet. You know, I'm just like, oh, God, I just don't, you know, please. And I knew it was going to somehow end up electrocuting me. But, yeah, you just, please don't let me be a Darwin.
Yeah.
So let me understand. So the bridge is closed. I mean, how do I put this? The bridge is down.
It's down.
And closed.
It's
for
down
no
in
reason.
That beep. Beep, beep, that beeping went on. I was just saying they were starting
the
to drive everyone slowly
down.
Insane. All the guardrails were down.
But the bridge isn't raising.
The bridge wasn't even moving.
So why
no boats in sight.
So why? And so then they announced that the bridge is broken.
After they made everyone sit there, I mean, people are honking, and everyone's kind of impatient because you've been waiting for
and
like
everybody. And that's all. And it's in rush hour too. It's in morning. It's like the
seriously
when you get caught by a train in morning rush hour, people have a very low tolerance.
No explanation. Just like turn around. There isn't even room for the cars to turn around.
How
on
can
the
you
bridge
even turn around?
There
about
is no way.
There's you'd have to back
they're like,
up.
Turn around and take another bridge. It's like I'm going right off this bridge. So I have a 75-pound bike. I'm trying to lift it over the thing. It gets stuck in the wires. It's just, like, so horrible. That's when it starts downpouring.
And you just know the bridge is going to go up while,
yep,
while you're in that middle
and
section.
And the woman's on the intercom screaming, turn around and find another bridge. I'm like, you know what? If you would have given us directions, maybe, oh, when you first discovered the bridge was broken, we all wouldn't be so late for work and desperate to crawl across this.
Did they ever clarify what they meant by the bridge being broken?
No, it was just a minimum wage woman going, the bridge is broken. You need to turn around and find another bridge to go over.
So this is no
done. One of the gears got damaged.
Yeah, well, that, I mean, yeah, that's exactly what you'll have to do. And again, and here's the other thing. While you're sitting there on the bridge, they're announcing the bridge is broken. And I guess, theoretically, it's the same amount of weight all the time. But all you can think of is thousands of pounds of steel and glass,
yep,
in the form of cars sitting there. And the concrete, you know, starting to break underneath you. That's, I think, about that. So you had to lift your bridge over
or
lift your bike over the guardrail.
And you don't realize there's one that's really high and there's one that's really low, and both of them have wires holding the guard, like, you know, everything down. And my bike is huge and heavy.
It is
and
a
I'm
big
trying,
steel bike,
and
yeah,
it's pouring rain. I'm, you know, I get it over the first one. I realize the next one has all these wires. There's no way I can lift it by myself. I'm stuck in the middle.
And meanwhile, she's got turn around!
Yeah. And I didn't know what to do. I'm like, should I turn around and
I forbid you to cross! And that's, and she's up there, and so she is up there on the loudspeaker, giving the, you know,
screaming
not to show pass, like the turning. Well,
there were
hundreds
of people, but the cars started trying to turn around. So
you
they
can't
were
turn
around
on the space, so there's no way.
Yeah, that's why people were starting to get wedged in there, and there were horns honking, people were getting out of the cars screaming at each other.
Oh, that's great.
And this woman, all she can offer is turn around and find another bridge. I wanted
seriously
to kill her.
Were you hoping that people would storm that little booth where she was?
Yeah.
Not that would be right.
Not that I waved to her.
Did you wave with one? Did you give her the British wave?
Maybe, yeah, I did, but I'm like covering my face as I'm going by. I'm like,
fantastic. Excellent. And so when you left the bridge this morning, what was going on? Was it still chaos?
It was absolute chaos.
Oh, fantastic.
It was backed up all the way through downtown. Backed up all the way up Hawthorne. People were still calling this woman. I wasn't going to go across until I saw this woman bring her three children. She's like chucking them through.
Oh, someone save my baby.
I know. There was like kids and old people, and everyone's walking by completely ignoring this woman. So I'm like, I might as well just
go. Oh, that's free. Freaky too, and you know that's like the opening paragraph of one of those stories about then, and then threw herself off the bridge after the three children.
Well, if it happened, they published at the Hawthorne Bridge in happier days.
Seriously,
horns across the Hawthorne Bridge.
Totally. Well, so if anybody knows about this, I'd like to hear from somebody.
And I know it's because of the high. She said it was because of the high winds. The bridge is broken.
It's the Pineapple Express.
But that doesn't make any sense. The bridge is made out of steel and concrete. Like, and
they're always broken.
And the winds, I mean, there's wind blowing, but it's not like a hurricane force wind or something.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that's freaky. So when you left, though, it was just, I'd like to know how people ended up getting out of
there. I was getting upset because I couldn't lift my bike. This really
You were
nice
not
girl,
getting upset. You were upset. You called me this morning and you were angry.
No, but as soon as I was trapped in the middle and I realized I couldn't get my bike over by myself, and I'm like, I'd either have to turn around and pedal all the way to the Morrison Bridge or try and get this over. This really nice girl, Emily, stops and helps me. So she helped me lift my bike over the thing, and then I eventually got over to the other side and went away. And then when I left, it was just complete chaos.
Oh,
it was all packed on Front Avenue.
See, and this is, and we got a break here in a second, and then we'll come back with Lisa Goddard.
I feel so bad for everyone in their cars because there's nothing they could do.
That's what I mean. It's like this is part and parcel with what makes me so happy about election season like this. It's just I love the sense at any moment when our society is just hinging on the brink of anarchy and chaos.
I saw like really well dressed, respectable people like
getting
crawling over, crawling over the barriers. I'm like, well, it was kind of cool actually.
That's what I'm saying. Well, can I just tell you this? And we have to break here, but I have to tell you this. And then this hour, here's what's going to happen. We'll break. We'll come back with Lisa Goddard, who will talk to us about the upcoming election, which is tomorrow. And then after Lisa is done, we'll all come back in here again because I got, this is from Human Resources right here. And this is, apparently we're going to be, CBS Radio Portland, we're going to be doing a career fair on Thursday, November 9th, downtown Portland, talking to interested candidates about how to get into the broadcasting industry and the jobs we currently have available. And then this is the email that I got from HR about it. I wanted to go directly to source, and what I need your help in is for a one-sheet we're doing on the top five things you love most about being a DJ.
How about if Scotty J fills that out?
So that's it. So this is from, and this is not a gag, this is from HR here at CBS Radio Portland. And this is to us. And so she is going directly to the source. And by the source, I think she means us because we have lots of free time. So she needs the top five things we love most about being DJs. And advice, I swear to God, it's like a radio bit that they've just created at HR just for us. How you got into the radio industry and your advice for anyone looking to get into radio. So the people in HR have requested that we as a show do this so they can have this on display at the CBS Career Fair. So we need to do that today. So like at 11:45, yeah, we can talk about that. We'll get Scotty J's thoughts as well. Let me just, well, I have no time.
Yeah, we got a break.
We got a break, and we come back, I'll tell my own personal story of anarchy and chaos. Then later on, the things we love about being a DJ plus the Ministry of Truth. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Show. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. This email says, Rick, I too was on the Hawthorne Bridge this morning. I was waiting for the bridge to walk across. I believe the exact quote from the lady on the PA was, quote, sorry, folks. Sorry, folks. We're closed for 2 weeks to clean and repair America's favorite family fun park. Sorry. That was not the quote. Mo says you're closed. I say you're open. Sorry, folks, howling winds have broken the bridge. Go another direction. That's like some sort of weird bridge poetry. Really? Howling winds have broken the bridge to fetch a pail of water. Go another direction. Exactly in what way do howling winds break the bridge? Or whatever. So I walked to the Morrison. The Hawthorne is one of the oldest bridges of its kind, so at 10 a.m. they test the bridge every day. Winds can damage bridges. Winds cause resonance, which can destroy a bridge. And then he's included that link to the Tacoma Narrows Bridge that just collapsed that day. Blah, blah, blah.
Wasn't at 10. It was probably like 9:40, 9:45.
Yeah, I just think they look for ways to screw with people. Let's see. Somebody who was there, Clyde's seance. No, I'm getting more emails about Lycus that I can't. It would be improper of me to read.
Why? About what?
It would. Decorum prohibits reading these emails.
Well, I know that I didn't do anything bad, and I know that you didn't do anything bad.
I know that Tim didn't do anything bad.
Scotty, Kristen didn't do anything bad.
No, Scotty is saying nor did I. Scotty, here's... All right, just... We'll have you come in and clarify that here in just a few. So, don't come in now. Stay right there. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the Hill! CNN radio correspondent to the stars, with a mind full of knowledge and fashionably attired, Lisa Goddard. How are you, sister?
Hello, how are you?
I'm fantastic. I am fantastic. You know why? Because today brought us one step closer to total chaos and anarchy in this fine, fading republic of ours. Really, and not just...
Congratulations, your plot is working.
That's really it is. You know, Rick Emerson has learned to embrace discord, is what he's done. Not just in an electoral sense. There was... I won't take up your time with it. I know you're very busy, and your day's going to be crammed.
Very busy. Take all the time you want.
Cram-packed tomorrow. No, there was a great moment today. We have a bridge here called the Hawthorne Bridge, which they raise occasionally to let ships go through, blah, 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 blah. Anyway,
okay.
So this morning, rush hour, there's strong gale force winds outside, there's rain coming down, the bridge is slick, everybody's late getting to work, the sky is overcast, everybody's filled with gloom and hate, and so the bridge is filled with cars, pedestrians, and bicyclists, and then at the last moment, the woman comes on a loudspeaker, they put down the guardrails that they put down whenever the bridge raises, they put down the guardrails, and a woman comes on the loudspeaker from a little booth atop the very peak of the bridge, and she says, the bridge is broken. Everyone must turn around. Now, here's some things you need to know. It is impossible to turn your car around on this Hawthorne Bridge. It cannot be done because the lanes are demarcated by large walls. There is no way to...
And if you try to turn...
And there's like five lanes where the traffic... And if you try to turn your car around, it's going to get angled in and stuck. It's just like, yeah, you will be wedged in there. And so Sarah Dillon was actually having to pick up her bicycle and crawl with her bicycle over a guardrail through this sort of demilitarized zone in direct violation of the bridge woman's orders, all the while being whipped by gale force winds and being afraid the bridge would open and that she would plunge into the sea below.
And I have a ridiculously heavy like cruiser bike, which is like 70 pounds.
And grown men in suits and...
grown men in their ties and business attire were getting out of their cars and screaming at the woman at the top of the bridge. Cars were bumping into one another. Cars were wedged. They couldn't get out. Everybody was late getting to work. It snarled all the way into downtown. It was fantastic. It really was, all that was missing was just like a, I don't know, like a pack of rabid chimpanzees somehow being loosed out of a truck that had overturned somewhere and rampaging through the crowd.
I like the idea of you standing there with a megaphone as well. Just uttering nothing that has anything to do with the actual situation.
Seriously, just rise up against your corporate masters. It's a good day to be me. And tomorrow's going to be a great day to be me.
I think so.
And let me just say that it's a good Monday already, and I haven't even read the statement from that nutcase evangelist preacher who got caught with a bunch of meth in a gay masseuse. Is it masseuse or masseur?
I believe he would be a masseur.
A masseur.
Your listeners would know better.
I will
admit that openly.
No, I believe it is a masseur.
They're shaking their head.
I am unashamed to admit that whenever I get a massage, I actually prefer having a male do that. Because then it's like, I don't have to worry about, trying to be witty or funny or good looking in any way. I can just be hideous. I can just be myself. All right, well, let's talk about midterm elections. One day left for campaigning. And it just as a side note here, because everything, there is no longer anything in this country that is not political, and there is no longer anything that is not used for political gain in some way. So is this business about the very reverend and very gay and very drug-addicted Ted Haggard, is this going to be, does this affect the Republicans at all, or...
You know, I don't know. In Colorado, the deal there is that they have a huge absentee program, and they say as much as half of the state may have already voted. And so it's not really clear. It could mean that fewer Republicans show up in Colorado, but there's just a couple, two or three close races in Colorado. The main thing is that Colorado has on its ballot that issue about gay marriage, and people argue over whether this will actually push conservative voters to the polls more, sort of take a stand and say, well, despite this man, we even more now think that this is a problem. You know, we think this is so insidious, you know, that kind of thing. Or are those folks going to stay at home and say this is a hypocritical leader? I don't know. Both sides are spinning that one. It's hard to say.
And then we've got, I was watching Rahm Emanuel, who used to be, he was sort of a fixer in the Clinton administration. And does he work for the DCCC now?
DCCC.
Yes.
They call it the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee.
And he has expressed just a little bit of concern that the Democrats have lost the forward momentum that they did seemingly have for the last few weeks. Is there any sort of sense in the ether, any sort of anything in the air, a gut feeling that people have? And I know as a journalist, you don't like to talk about there's an intangible gut feeling. But is there a sense in the air of which way it's going to go and how big?
Here's the thing. It's again, this perception as reality thing is what the Democrats are battling. And in fact, Rahm Emanuel was just on a conference call about 2 hours ago that I was on with him. And he was saying, the Republicans are spinning these polls. The numbers are not what they say they are. That we are up in all of these states. Don't listen to the Republicans. They've done this before. So both sides now are trying to say that they're winning in the polls because they want their folks to get out. I don't know. I think that it looks like over the weekend we did see a couple of polls indicating that nationally that huge margin Democrats had over Republicans in general did shrink, but Democrats are still ahead. It depends anywhere from 4 to more than 10 points. And, you know, that's a problem. But really, it comes down to each district. I think everyone overall is going to say, yeah, we want change. But do you really want to vote against your congressman? And it looks like in a lot of these swing districts, they're leaning slightly Democratic, but they could still go any way. So that's why both sides are trying to pretend like they have the upper hand, when in fact, neither one of them has really knows what's going to happen.
I don't know if the phrase October surprise was created during the Reagan-Carter race. Maybe you can tell me that on that, because there was the last-minute Iranian thing that happened in 80 with Reagan versus Carter, but that's the October surprise. People don't know. This has come to represent or typify or explain any sort of last minute revelation or happening or political event that can swing an election. And so, of course, we got the Saddam. Now, is Saddam, what are they going to hang him? Is that the deal?
Yes, he has been sentenced to death by hanging.
And there's, that's not like a... Is this... Cause I don't know. I have to confess this. I have no idea. I don't understand at all how that case is working. And obviously, and I'm kind of getting to the point of this helping the GOP, but I mean, is that... Was that like our court, or it was in Iraq, but it was Iraqis, or was it us, or was it like just a bunch of people they grabbed off the street to try him? I mean, how did that even work?
Well, you know, the way that, you know, I am not an expert on the Iraqi court system, but it is run through a series of judges. They have a court, I don't know how many judges it is, I believe it's between, I'm not going to give a number because I'm going to get it wrong, but they have a number of judges who confer, and I believe they decide. I don't believe that it was a trial by jury.
So when you're in Iraq...
But I honestly need to... I'm not sure.
Well, we just make stuff up. Nobody will know.
Okay, that's great.
So in Iraq, though...
We don't talk politics,
To the best of your knowledge, when this... So he gets sentenced to death. I mean, I would imagine that's not like the American system where you could be on death row for like 50 years and author several books while you're there. I mean, this is a thing like they sentence you and then like 3 days later a guy hauls you out and sticks you on hangs you from a willow tree or something. So, I mean, it's got to be good news for the Republicans, right?
You know, a lot of Republicans are talking about it, but they're talking more about the president, talking more about trying to defend their policy in Iraq in general. I think Saddam is being mentioned, but he's really sort of an asterisk at this point. They talk a lot about the Iraqi elections. Iraq is making progress. I think Saddam Hussein is really a sideshow right now.
If they're not doing this, it's a misstep. I got it, because the American people are deeply dense. And the American people don't... I'm kind of a bright guy, and not even I really understand how the Iraq government is working right now. I don't really know who's in charge.
They don't understand themselves in Iraq, that's right.
That's the thing, but you know what American people understand? American people understand a good hanging. That's what they, that's how you want to reach some Johnny Lunchbucket guy, some guy who's just sitting there in Decatur. That's how you get him, is you just have a big shot, and I'm simply speaking now as a political observer. That's how you communicate with just some nitwit in Wyoming. You just show him a picture of Saddam Hussein being led to a gallows somewhere. So it seems like they...
You may have something there. I don't know. But I think at this point, the issue is, I mean, Saddam, I think the capture of Saddam was really the key moment. You know, getting him in custody, knowing that he's no longer a threat to take over the government, at least doesn't seem like he is one. I don't know. I think you might be right, but I think that the bigger moment was when Saddam was captured. I think this trial, everyone expected this. Everyone expected him to be convicted. You know, was Saddam a madman? Difficult question to answer. Of course he was. You know, of course he was. He was someone who killed thousands of people. I think this just isn't a surprise. Is the issue? I think that's why people aren't reacting to it quite the same.
Two more tiny questions, and I'll let you go here because I know everybody's wanting to talk to you. If this may sound like a silly question, but do you know, is there like a Vegas line on elections? I mean, do you know if like does Vegas do? Is there like a sports book somewhere in Vegas that does the betting on political? Because really?
Yes, there is. There's a couple of things you can bet. Of course, you know, if gambling is legal,
of course,
where you are.
Of course, because I would not advocate the breaking of any law.
Right, of course. And then, but also, I believe it's Iowa. One of the universities in Iowa also was running a sort of almost a futures type stock market.
Excellent.
Based on political candidates and based on what combination of Republicans and Democrats will control either the House or Senate.
So like a fantasy football, but with congressmen.
Exactly. And you know, it runs the line on how much you put money in on this or that. And they're trying to gauge what people, and they very closely predict. They predicted the last election.
Excellent.
And people think that kind of futures market idea for politics may be a good predictor.
It's just one tiny other question, and this is just occurred to me now. I don't even know who would know this, but does anybody know, and we've asked this a few times on the show, what happened to Baghdad Bob, that guy that was the Iraqi information man, the guy who was on TV going like, there are no Americans here, while there's tanks kind of rolling by in the background?
Tariq Aziz.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Talking about you.
Does anybody know where he is? Does anybody know whatever happened? That guy was fantastic. He was sort of their Rumsfeld.
You need to bring him back out. He is awaiting trial. That's my understanding. I don't know specifically what he has been charged with or even if he has been charged, but he is in custody by the U.S.-led coalition, as we so often say.
That guy was all about style. He was
what kind of sports sea faces. Yeah.
Oh, he was all about style. That guy was hilarious. And just the ability to look at, you know, the tobacco lobby ought to hire him. You know what I mean? Look right into the camera and just completely lie, you know?
That's a bad plan.
All right.
So I have some answers for you really quick.
Oh, yeah.
All right, it is Monsieur, if it's a man.
Okay.
If it's a woman. October Surprise comes from 1968, potentially.
Okay.
In the Humphrey versus Nixon actual, in that race. And I'm trying to look through these details now of what happened.
Was it when
President Johnson announced that he was ending the bombing in North Vietnam right at the end of October.
All right. Excellent.
So there's that. And then on the Iraq, it is a tribunal, which means it was by judges, but I don't have the number of judges yet.
And it was, you know, but I guess that you answered like 85% of the question, which is like way, way, way above average. So
I tried.
Excellent. No, God bless you, Lisa Goddard. All right. We will talk to you tomorrow. Busy day, but we'll grab you for a few. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. We will speak to you soon.
All right, high five.
All right, there you go. There's sister. Right, Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen, from the Hill. All right, fantastic.
She's awesome.
Yeah, she really is. Fantastic. So let's give her and Rupa a morning show. Let's see. What are we... hello, sir. Oh, this is Jay. Jay?
Yes.
Yeah, what's up?
I guess maybe I can answer the other 15% she couldn't answer. I was actually up at 3 a.m. watching CNN, for God knows why, watching Saddam being... sentenced to death, and they said that within 30 days, in the Iraqi court system, within 30 days, they have to carry out a death sentence. That's the rule.
Well, I'm going to miss that guy. Is it true that when they sentenced him to death, is it true that he stood up and said something like, "You are all motherless dogs," or something?
Oh, yeah,
like,
it was, I don't know how many times he said, what is it, like, Akaba, something that means, you know, God is great. He said it just over and over and over.
Look, I know he's a mass murderer. And I know he engaged in genocide and so forth, but I'm just going to say, you know what always kind of impresses me? I always kind of like a guy that just, it's defiance in the face of certain death.
Yes.
That is a thing I never really get tired of. You know what I mean? A guy that they're like lining him up for the firing squad, and he's just like, F you! You know, and he's just totally angry all the way to the end. I respect that.
I'm not mentioning that, because he requested to be killed by firing squad, but he was denied.
Yeah, well.
That'd be a great thing to put Katie Couric back on the map, either her or Geraldo hosting the special.
Totally. We should do that. We should make it a listener party. Maybe not. That's a poor idea. All right, Jay, thank you, sir.
Very welcome.
All right, there you go. Geraldo, that's exactly the kind of thing Geraldo would do.
Yeah.
And he would totally have, like, an American flag tattooed on his shoulder while he did it. You know, and he would totally, I mean, this...
With Bono.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. Toby Keith could open.
Oh, yeah.
Are you ready for a hang-in? You know, that, come on.
Mm-hmm.
She pitched that to a couple.
That's synergy. We can both do it.
Come on, I've said for the longest time that we should create an alter ego program that we're just like an idiot pandering morning show,
mm-hmm.
and that our alter ego morning show would totally do that. We would completely have a listener party for the hanging Saddam Hussein, and then we'd have
that'd be fun. What could be more American?
Big bowls of pork rinds, you know, while you were there, so forth.
And it'll be thrown into a threshing machine.
Yes. All right. Well, let's quickly get this, and then we'll talk briefly about the things we love about being DJs. Brandon, hello, sir.
Hey, Rick.
Hey,
one other thing. I happened to be up at the same time watching MSNBC's coverage.
What is wrong with you people? Don't get me wrong.
I was working, and all of a sudden, Saddam came on the screen, and I said, oh, what's going on?
Okay.
So they said, because the guy just said that it was a 30-day time limit, but the other thing that MSNBC said, which is that whenever there's a death sentence under Iraqi law, it's an instant automatic appeal, or I should say it automatically goes into the appeals process. So I don't know what an Iraqi appeal looks
I think
like.
The Iraqi appeal process is just a guy going, you know, looking at it and grunting
right.
it and they shove it back.
Right, because it has to be within 30 days. It's probably not too comprehensive, but I do know that apparently that's supposed to happen before anything else can be done. So.
Excellent. All right. Thank you, Brandon.
No problem. Thank
I love, there you go. I love the idea that like half of our listeners at any given time are up at 3 a.m. watching breaking news coverage of Saddam's trial. Fantastic. All right. Well, we don't have time to do a whole lot of this here, but I do want to. I teased this earlier. I do want to read this. This is real. I am not making fun of or making this up. This is from the HR department. Subject line: Being a DJ. Hi, it says. The corporate speak. Hi, CBS Radio Portland is holding its very own career fair on Thursday, November 9th. We'll be talking to interested candidates about how to get into the broadcasting industry and the jobs we currently have available. I wanted to go directly to the source, and what I need your help in is for a one-sheet we're doing on the top 5 things you love most about being a DJ, how you got into the radio industry, and your advice for anyone looking to get into radio. If you can shoot me an email with your thoughts, I can get to work on putting together an upbeat, positive outline on what it's like to be a DJ. I appreciate your input. Thank you so much. Let's all go around the room, shall we?
Oh, great.
Top 5 things you love most about being a DJ. Sarah Dillon.
getting to meet people like Joshua Jackson.
Yeah, well, there you go. Now, this is, now see, because it's...
You get to meet people in this job that you would never meet, like meeting Ron Jeremy. When would I ever meet him?
Stars of pornography. Get to meet men with massive phalluses.
Well, it's fun to meet people in a, you know, professional sense, not just meeting them out in, you know, some bar.
See, I'm glad you've gone the positive way. See, there were two ways we could have gone, the high road or the low road. We're taking the high road here because there are many things we try.
No, radio's, I mean, as poor as it pays, it's a really cool job.
Seriously.
I love it.
Get paid to drink with Tom Likas.
I know.
Let's see. All right. So, let's see. Top five things I love most about being a DJ. So, the chance to meet, exciting people and celebrities. Is that fair?
Yes.
Exciting people and celebrities. All right. Exciting people and celebrities. All right. Tim Riley, things you love most about being a DJ or some smarter variation thereof.
The chance to travel.
Whether you want to or not.
Yes. Pick up and move in a beat-up pickup truck with $15 worth of gas, praying that you'll make it from Long Beach, California to Portland, Oregon with all your worldly possessions and your dog. In the truck.
See exciting locales.
Mm-hmm.
Locales.
Flexi- Get stuck in an ice storm halfway up the mountain, wondering what's on the other side.
Once in a lifetime experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And a lifetime experiences. So how about this? How about flexibility of location?
Yes.
Oh.
Skills can be used
anywhere.
In many different areas. Skills can be used anywhere.
Meet people from all over America who've been through the same terrible things as you have.
Part of a community.
It is a community.
Part of a community.
I think another cool thing about radio is that
broadcaster.
The people we work with and ourselves are just crazy. We work with crazy, nutty, fun people.
Who drink constantly.
Yes. And you can't, and you bump into them. Like, they'll go, and then all of a sudden, you get fired, and you'll see them again. Always be nice to people.
An enjoyable...
Work environment.
And laid-back work environment. Work environment. All right. Well, that is five. So we've got a chance to meet exciting people and celebrities. Let's see, job skills are transferable to many different locales and areas. Experience once in a lifetime events from an insider's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Insider's perspective. Part of a community of broadcasters.
With similar experiences.
Very good. With similar experiences.
That's part of what makes us a big family, isn't it?
An enjoyable and casual work environment. Casual work environment. All right, fantastic. Okay, there's the top five things we love about being DJs. Let's see. How you got into the radio industry. I can sort of summarize that for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And your advice for anyone looking to get into radio. Sarah Dillon.
Same thing I always say. Be willing to work for free.
Be willing. That's exactly what they're going to hear at the job fair.
Seriously.
No,
you're willing to put in some time. You know, you probably won't get paid right off the bat.
Be willing to work.
If you really want to do it, be willing, to do something for free.
Tim Riley, advice for anyone looking to get into radio.
Drop off your audition materials a minute before 5 o'clock on a Friday afternoon.
Try not to bathe beforehand. You are a bad person.
Well, I'm trying to be truthful.
Buy the cheapest cassettes and CDs you possibly can. And make sure that everything is submerged in hundreds of dBs of hiss as you drop it off.
Make sure you're re-recording over something.
Yeah, and make sure it's accompanied by a resume that looks like it was made by a mongoloid fifth grader.
Mm.
Be creative.
Yes.
Yeah, because you sent a cake.
I did. Have I told that story in the air?
No.
I to KNAC. You remember KNAC
in
Long
Beach?
And KNAC, which is a legendary rock station. It's gone now. It's online, I think. It's the terrestrial station flips Spanish. Mm-hmm. But it's there online. KNAC was sort of the metal equivalent to KROQ in Los Angeles.
And it was a station with relatively no signal whose legend was actually bigger than its coverage area.
It actually, not unlike KROQ, KNAC in Los Angeles was world famous. You, all through the 80s, anybody who grew up as an 80s metal or hard rock fan knows the call letters KNAC because it was in every rock video. Every band had a shirt that said KNAC. Every music video, there was a guy in the audience holding up a KNAC bumper sticker. It was a legendary, because it was the first station in the country to start playing nothing but hard rock and metal. It was sort of the KMAT, the radio chaos of a later time. And then it was copied by Scott Shannon at KQLZ. I'm really entering Craig Adams territory. I got to stop. But KNAC was a legendary station. It was, again, it was very much like KROQ or WFAN, one of those stations. But
if you were into alternative, you wanted K-Rock about that time.
K-Rock, exactly, which is still legendary.
Which I got thrown out of on numerous occasions.
Now, did you try to get a job there?
Oh, yes. I was one of those pesky people that you hate that come in here sometimes.
Oh, no, that's the only way you got to be.
It was a messy desk in the middle of this horrendous building on the second floor.
They're always rat holes. I mean, they're always like that. KNAC, I heard, was just like literally out of just like a clapboard house somewhere. But that's the thing is you got to stop by every day. I mean, it's like I would go like 2, 3, 4 days a week to certain stations, dropping off my air checks. Same air check, same resume every day. Hey, is the program director here? No. When's he going to be here? I'll wait. Sit in the lobby, offer to wait. And, sometimes you get the gig, sometimes you don't. KNAC, though. I was not ready for the job. I mean, I was too young and didn't know what I was doing. But I sent them. I stole this from Bruce Williams, by the way, because I called Bruce Williams like, Bruce, what should I do with my career? And he's like, well, kiddo, you got. Did you have counsel? Kiddo, you got to do something to get yourself noticed. So I sent a full sheet cake with my resume written on it, and at the top it was to this guy Brian Schock, who was the PD of KNAC at that time. And I was like, Brian Schock, please to be reading my resume. And then I wrote my resume in icing on the top of a full sheet cake. And then I had it delivered to his office. And he called, and it was the greatest, and I'll tell you right now, I didn't get the job, but he called me personally.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Schock, KNAC, got your cake, great stuff. I'm like, oh, that's so great, will you hire me? And we talked for a while, and he told me, he's like, look, you're a couple years away from being ready. Here's three things you can do to make yourself better. And he gave me three. I don't remember what they were now. I'd have to go, I probably wrote it down somewhere. But he gave me three real specific concrete pieces of advice on how to make myself better. And that was, I wanted the job, and I didn't get the job, but that was the best thing that he, because he was a legendary PD, that he called me and then gave me three things I could do to be better. It was fantastic. All right, so there you go. Be creative. Do what it takes to get noticed. All right?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Let's see. And, there we go. All right. Fantastic.
Woo.
Done. Yeah. Checked off the list. Fantastic. I'm going to check that off. And there we go.
So we're done.
We're done. We come back. We'll do the AM 970 noon news hour from the Ministry of Truth. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Show. Don't go anywhere.